We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Lord Leila Nishma Sheikh's brother parents, Eliyah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. The Neshamas should have an Aliyah. We are in the middle of the 12th Mishnah in the 5th chapter of Pirkei Avos. We started it last week, and we will complete it this week. The topic that we are discussing is four different types of students as it relates to their ability to think quickly, understand, process things quickly, as well as their ability to remember things. So we're going to reread the Mishnah. We'll briefly recap what we saw last week, which will transition us into the focus for this week. So the Mishnah says, Arba Midos Bat Talmidim. There are four types of character traits when it comes to students. And we said last week that maybe character traits doesn't necessarily just mean way we use midos now, it could also mean intellectual traits. So four types of traits in general when it comes to students. Number one, maher lishmoa umaher la'abed, somebody who is quick to comprehend and quick to forget. Yatza scharo, the benefit that they were quick to comprehend, is lost in the loss of the fact that they forget it quickly. So it doesn't really matter so much that you understood it quickly because you forgot it pretty quickly as well. Number two is the opposite. Kasha lishmoa v'kasha la'abed. It's hard for them to understand, hard for them to process, but once they do, kasha la'abed, they remember it. They don't lose it so quickly. So yatza hefsedo, so the downside of the fact that it was hard for them to process it quickly, is lost in the benefit of the fact that they are remembering it for the long run. Those are the first two, a mix of a positive and a negative. It seems that the conclusion is that it's better to have be slower in processing as long as you remember it longer. Number three, maher lishmoa v'kashela abed. You have the best of both worlds. You have a quick processing and a good memory, so you don't forget it. That person is deemed wise, a chacham. And then the last is kasha lishmoa umaher la'abed, somebody who has difficulty listening and processing and also forgets very quickly. So that's chilek ra. That is a bad portion. So what we want to understand is, first of all, why the terms, and we started this last week, chacham, wise, and chelek ra are used. Is there a moral judgment here? Is there something the person is doing wrong? Is your ability to think quickly as well as remember things, is that more just nature versus something you can't do anything and nothing you can't do anything about it? And that's why we're not using harsh judgments like we did when it comes to anger, that it's a moral judgment of that is a rasha, a wicked person. So we're going to want to elaborate on that. We saw the Rambam, who takes a hard stand and says none of this is in our control. And then as we developed last week's shiur, we basically said, is that really true? Is this really not? We can't do anything to improve our memory? Are there no speed drills that we can do to try to improve how quickly we can comprehend something? Is it really totally out of our control? So that theme is going to continue to develop a little bit this week. But we're going to start off with source number one is the Medrash Shmuel, which we alluded to last week. We said we're going to skip it and come back to it. But the context we want to remember to understand him a little bit better is the previous Mishnah. So the previous Mishnah, without going in all its detail, discussed, as I just alluded to, the concept of anger and the four different types of being angry and then quickly to appease, etc., and the different permutations of that. So it's from the context of anger that we jump into this Mishnah that talks about these four types of students. So is there a connection between these? Besides for just the pattern, which sounds similar, is that we list four different types of a category and say the pros and cons of mixing and matching, and then the benefits of having the best of both worlds, and the negatives of having the worst of both worlds. So besides for just that linguistic parallel or textual parallel, is there a deeper message behind combining anger with learning? So look at source number one, the Medrash Shmuel. So Medrash Shmuel writes, "Vari lirma garis hachi memaher lishmoa v'kasha la'abed chilek tov." So it's interesting, number one, is that he has a different version. If you remember last week, there were slightly different versions of the other Mishnah. But when in number 3a, again, in source A, the third category, we are calling somebody who understands quickly and forgets slowly, chacham. There are some versions that say, that's a chelek tov, that it's a good portion. Not that it's wise, it's a good portion. And that actually parallels better the language of the last one, which is chelek ra. The last one is called a bad portion. The third one is called a chacham. There are some versions that say the third one's called a good portion, which again parallels nicer to the chelek ra, the bad portion of number four. Vigir Sazui says, Matzati ota b'sefer yashan. I found this in an old version. Od katav kesher ha-mishnayot, shilafishal. So what's the connection between the mishnayot? Shilafishal ma'ala amar arba midos bideos, perish b'yishuv asecha v'tirufo, lachin ba'ata lefarish lanu arba midos, rotzel amar arba madrigos b'secha l'chachamim. So in the previous mishnah we spoke about four characteristics, bideos, and then it referenced how calm or angry I am, right? How much our thinking and brain can be overtaken and hijacked by my emotional experiences. So that transitions well into the four types of intelligences that we're talking about here. And the Medrash Shmuel elaborates and says, V'li nira l'kasher ota ki biyot shemidat ha-kas hi krova el ha-chachamim mitzad tivam. So this is something that we addressed 2 weeks ago. I believe Chaim Weinstein brought up the case of Kohanim being angry. And we pointed out that sometimes teachers also get angry. And the Chachamim, the Kohanim were actually, back in the day, were the teachers. They were the ones that went out and taught. So there's some level of connection between anger, Kohanim, teachers, this sort of leadership, religious role. So what's going on here? So he says at last Mishnah we talk about kas, anger. Anger is krova el hachachamim mitzad tiv'am. There's something about being a chacham, being wise, that makes you more naturally susceptible to anger. V'lachin amar she Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom ki berov chachma rav kas v'chein nimsa ma'od b'teva hachachamim hakaptanut al kol dvarim yoter mizulatam. So the wise people, the chachamim, seem to be very makbid. They're very particular. They're very close, quick, susceptible to getting angry. Kemosh kasav hari al kain efshar. So that because of that, because we just spoke about anger. Therefore, shachareshu dianamida takas, so dianamida tatalmidim. We go transition from talking about anger to talking about students. Lefishal arov mida takas mitzuya behem, because these students are the chachamim, the talmid chachamim. They are, again, it's sort of like the whole school, as it were, the whole context, the classroom, is just a breeding grounds for anger. Again, it sounds so weird, but that's what he's arguing about. That's what he's arguing, because the chachamim are particular, and there's this intensity. Maybe there's a lot at stake. Maybe they're so passionate about Torah, about learning. There's something that anger is sort of seated. It's ready to pounce. Va'av gam l'siba zo samcham l'fi shehem shavos b'gzeiro seyam ha-beinonis. So that's his first answer, is the reason why we connect these two Mishnayos is because we go from anger, and where is anger found the most? Well, it's found the most in a yeshiva. It's found the most in a classroom. It's found the most in those students who are going to be learning and the teachers who are going to be learning and teaching. Apparently, there's just that general nature, something combined between students and learning. And remember, this isn't, don't take the vision that we have of a classroom where you're necessarily having, every single student in a class. I mean, it's not everybody in the world is in a classroom. Then this statement doesn't make sense, right? If every single kid is in a classroom, you can't say that every student is natured to be angry, because that's just, it's a universal. But here we're talking about, presumably, is that there's a self-selected group of people who are advancing their studies in the yeshiva. So it's not like we're talking about every first grader, right? We're talking about students who are choosing to be in a, let's say, a postgraduate yeshiva, as it were. And apparently they were close to being angry, and that's why we connected to anger. And the reality, if that's true nowadays, if it was really true then, and we're just taking this at face value, I don't know. But it's interesting to think about, and we'll elaborate on this as we go on, this connection between learning and anger. So keep that in your back pocket. And he continues and finishes off this paragraph by saying that perhaps, as we already alluded to, that maybe the reason these Mishnayos are connected is not necessarily thematically, but rather it's just a matter of textual connection. The first Mishnah of anger tells you about the four different types of anger. Then there's the Yatzah Schara Befsedo, Yatzah Efsedo Bescharo, you have your Russia, you have etc. So here is the same parallel in terms of the textual, nothing thematic per se, but the reason why they're connected and put together is because they sound the same. So now, very important point here. Let's go back. Let's see if you can intuit it. If you look here with the four students, we're told maher lishmoa v'kashela abed, right? Or it's maher and kashe. Anybody remember from the last Mishnah when we talk about anger? You could cheat if you want. If you look in Parak 5, Mishnah 11, anybody remember what language was used to describe the different characteristics? Is it maher, quick, and kashe, difficult? Or is there a different language that's used? What's the language used for the anger Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, 5:11? Good. Kashe and Noah. So kashe is the same. Kashe is difficult. But instead of maher, quick, it uses the term Noah. And if you remember, we actually started talking about this. We didn't fully develop it. But what is the meaning? What's the nuance of the word Noah? Especially now when we contrast it to maher, there's something here. There's a reason why we're using this different terminology. So Noah means is easy to, which sounds similar. It's almost a synonym to maher, but what's the textual nuance here? So he writes as follows: Ulahavin lama shina halashon. Why was the language changed? Mina mishnah shekadma dekachaya lo mar noach lishmoav and noach laabed. Right. So if we use the same language as the previous Mishnah, it shouldn't say maher lishmoa umaher laabed. It should say noach lishmoa unoach laabed, because that's the language we used in the previous Mishnah. Ki behechrech perush milat noach hu lashon mehirut. Again, it's the same thing. It means the same thing. Noach means quick. Kimo noach lichos v'noach lirtzos. So what's the reason? If it has the same general meaning, why this change in language? The efsher, ki milat noach morkevet mishnei perushim. So the truth is that noach, the word noach, has two possible connotations. Lashon mihirut, there's that quickness, but it also means the lashon nachat ruach, calmness. Right? So it's not just quick, but it's almost like a serenity. Kimo kosha ruach habriot nocha menu, as we've seen in previous Mishnayot, that people are, we want people to like you. So that's ruach habriot nocha menu, the liking, the belovedness is noach. So noach doesn't just mean quick, it also means beloved, calm, peaceful. Valkain, be'inyan ha-ka'as, v'haritzui. When it comes to anger and appeasement, both Noach in terms of loved, you know, as well as quick, the same word can be used. Both connotations are true. Ki ka'asher ha'adam hu mimaher lechos rucho nocha mioso ha'mehiros. It's a very, very, very powerful point. When somebody is quick to anger, they enjoy it. And that's why anger is a very difficult emotion to deal with. Because unlike anxiety, unlike depression, right? If I'm anxious, if I'm depressed, I don't want to be anxious and depressed. So I might not know how to fix that, and I might need help to fix it, but I don't like it, and I want to get rid of it. When I'm angry, I enjoy it, at least in the moment. It feels good, especially if it's about something that's sort of a moral high ground, like I'm better than you. It's an ego involved. It feels good to get angry. So Noach, in the context of anger, doesn't just mean quick, that's true, but it also means that I enjoy getting angry. Right? Let's read it again. Ki kasher ha'adam hu mimaher l'chos rucho nocha mi'oso ha'mi'iros. I enjoy that quick to anger. Ki libo chafetz bo. I actually want it. V'chein kasher mimaher l'ratzot rucho nocha mi'oto haritzoi. And the same is true when it comes to being appeased. I enjoy, it feels good once I'm appeased. Alkein afke l'mihirut b'losho naichi. So instead of using the word quick, The previous Mishnah purposefully uses the word Noach, because Noach means both quick as well as enjoy. Ditarti isnube, it has both connotations to it. But when it comes to our Mishnah, it doesn't make sense to use the word Noach in the enjoyment context. It might make sense to use it in terms of quick, maher, but it's not enjoyable, right? Amnam be'inyan ha'limud ki b'chaluka achas tahinu kishu mimahar la'abed. It's enjoyable to forget. It's not enjoyable to forget. Lo shayach nachas ruach. It doesn't mean, I can't use that word Noach. Da'anan sahati she'in daito nocha miyotai. But nobody wants to keep forgetting things. Elo shegavra lava shechacha. It's just, I forgot. I can't control it. V'lachin lo nakat lo shen Noach rak lo shen mimahar ha'mora ala mi'iros levad. That's why this Mishnah changes from the word Noach to maher, in order that it shows us, it demonstrates that unlike anger or appeasement, which in the proper context feels good, it feels right, feels what I want to do, even though in the long term it might not be true, but there's some level of nachas ruach, enjoyment to that. Here, there's nobody wants to forget. So because of that, they take away the word Noach and change it to maher. Okay, so an important textual piece, but I think also that it's a very powerful psychological insight here, that when people get angry, they actually enjoy it, and that's why people usually don't go to anger management, right? It's hard for people to go to therapy for anger or try to change their anger because it feels good. That's one of the reasons. Usually it's everybody else's fault, it's not my fault, but it's because it feels good. Depressed, anxious, I want to get rid of. Anger, I'm not so quick to get rid of. Okay, so important points here about anger, and we'll get back to anger in a moment. But before we get there, we're going to see one more source, source number two, which is going to explain another textual point, which is word choice. Why is somebody who is quick to comprehend, number three in our Mishnah, in the A3, our third category, somebody who's quick to comprehend and slow to forget, why is that person called a chacham, wise? So it might be, again, it might not be such a strong question to us because that seems to be the best category. It seems to have characteristics of somebody who's wise. But remember, just because I have characteristics doesn't automatically mean that I am wise. Right, and here, the Rav Matisyahu Haitzari points this out, and I think it's just an important split to make. He says, "Mishu mimaher lishmoa v'kashel la'abed chacham." Why is this person called wise? Because he's quick to comprehend and slow to forget. Rotze lomar zuhu chelek tov v'nakel liot chacham. So, he sort of combines the two versions. If you remember from the beginning of source number one, we said there are two versions. You could either call that type of person wise, or you could say that he has a good portion. So he combines the two, and he says that it's a good portion, and it's nakel liot chacham. It's an important nuance. It's not necessarily that the person is wise right now, but they have the susceptibility, the traits, the intellectual capability to become wise. Wisdom doesn't just mean potential. Wisdom means that I've actually acquired something. So here it's important to remember that just because I'm calling the person chacham doesn't necessarily mean that they are wise right now. It means they have the capability to become wise because of these character traits. Kishem or these intellectual traits. Kishem chacham yomar al mishi yeshlo mailot sichliot klamar habanot nafshiot shenakeliot bo chacham. Again, it's a sort of it's almost contradictory, right? We're saying that a chacham is somebody who is wise. But we also call somebody who has the capability of becoming wise, wise. Right? So it's almost like we're using the language for the potential, even though that person right now isn't necessarily wise, they just have the potential to becoming wise. So I think it's an important split, again, to make, to realize that just because I have the potential doesn't automatically mean I'm wise, even though the Mishnah is calling it, it's sort of like al shem sofo, that at the end they're going to become wise. But remember, there's a lot of hiccups along the road. I can have high intelligence, I could have a good memory, I could have a quick processing, but that's not automatically going to make me wise because there are other things that can get in the way. So what are the other things that can get in the way? And at the core,
can be that it comes from himself, not because of his tchunot, he was born with that, but he's a listener. That's one way, because he's what we say lishmoa, because he listens instead of talking. He listens, that's why he gets it very fast. Also, he can concentrate more. There are certain people that if you concentrate, then you get it. So that's Maher Lishmua. Mm-hmm. Because of him, not because of his tchunot from birth, but because he works on that. Either Lakshiv Tov or to repeat things or something to himself. Yeah.
So excellent point. I mean, you're getting to the crux of what I think the tension of this Mishnah is that we built last week, which is that the commentaries seem to be going back and forth here in terms of is this something that's naturally ingrained, or is this something that you can develop and you can work on? And they're sort of towing the line, balancing, almost going from one extreme to the other. So far, we saw a little bit of both. So we're going to see that a little bit more now. We're really developing that same theme, is that is this all really not in my control? Is this something that is all up to God, up to my genetics? Or is there something I can do? So you're arguing, I think very cogently, that there are things you can do. But let's see that a little bit here as well. So
That's why they use the word lishmoa and not lilmod.
Lishmoa. Okay. So lishmoa, you're saying the ability to listen is something that can be developed, right? You can learn active listening skills, and pay attention better, and that could help the processing. Okay, for sure. Okay, so you're focusing on ability to compensate with intellectual skills, right? You can work on it. That's true, and we're going to see that momentarily. But first, there's another piece here that I think is fascinating. So framing it, and this might be repetitive, so I apologize, but let's just frame what we have so far. We have one push to say that the components of intellect that we're talking about now in terms of memory and ability to process things quickly is dependent on God, nothing to do with me. Then we have another push that says maybe it does have to do with you, and as Rabbi Shiloni pointed out, as we saw some commentaries last week, there are skills, and I showed you the PowerPoint from the textbook in terms of skills, how to compensate for learning disabilities, the drills that you can do to try to increase your memory, the drills you can do to try to increase your processing speed, right? So there's things you can do intellectually to compensate for these lack of intellectual skills. But there's now another component, which we haven't seen yet, but is actually more aligned with lots of things we've learned in Pirkei Avos, which is not just that you can compensate and that your intellect is either from God or you can improve it with certain intellectual skills, but what else impacts my intellect? What else impacts my ability to learn? Is it just cognitive traits, or are there other things that will impact my ability to learn? Think broad categories here. Besides for just my thinking, what can impact my learning? Right? All teachers should have this here. You should know what's going on. What can impact learning?
The surrounding.
Okay, environment. Okay, good.
Okay.
What else?
Health.
Health for sure. One big piece. Think about last Mishnah. Okay, physical health we got. Yeah. Teachers for sure. Environment for sure. Think about the kid. Think about the kid. The student.
King ability to concentrate.
Okay, concentrate. Good. So I would, Paul, first of all, it's great to see you. Second of all, I agree. I think that I would, though, for my purposes now, would put that in the intellectual capability. So let's intellect, working on intellect, brain capacity, all that's true. What else is going to impact my learning if I'm a child?
The paycheck, Rabbi Shipman.
The paycheck as a child?
No.
What about curiosity? You're curious. You're self-motivated.
Okay, so you're so good. So now you're being specific.
Specific.
Sorry, there's an echo, so I'm just going to mute you.
What about the teacher's attitude?
Okay, so again, I don't care. Environment, teacher, it's all true. And we'll talk about that. But I want.
Okay, in a much earlier Mishnah, we say Loha Baishan Lomaid. So maybe somebody who's not a Baishan, who is not embarrassed about asking questions, is that,
Okay, good, Evelyn. So Baishan and Elaine, what you're saying in terms of curiosity, you're both giving two specifics, which is good. What's the broad category that we're looking for here? Not just intellectual traits. His character traits. So remember, if you go back, I'm just gonna mute because of the echo. If you go back to the Rambam who said this several times. There are two components to our ability to learn, or just in general, ability to serve Hashem. You have your intellectual components, and you have your character traits. Right? Maybe the way I was phrasing it was a little bit too complicated, but it's not just about my intellect. It's not just about my ability to memorize. It's not just about my ability to concentrate, to listen. All that's true. But you also have your character traits. Your midos impact the way you learn, whether that's curiosity, whether that's being embarrassed, or whether that is, okay, hint, what was our last Mishnah? How did we start this year?
Anger.
Okay, how does anger as a character trait impact learning? So look here in Mili de Avos, Rav Mordechai Mishabarshin, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. This is the first time we're quoting him. We've quoted Mili de Avos before of a different rabbi. But here, he develops this whole Mishnah, if you remember from the Medrash Shmuel, from our first source, connected this Mishnah to the previous Mishnah. This Mishnah talks about memory and speed of processing to anger. Here he's going to do that in a very, even a stronger way. Not just that it's sort of connected, it's totally intertwined to the previous Mishnah. Yes, Elaine?
Anger blocks you. You can't learn anything when you're angry. Nothing goes in.
Excellent, right? So that's that big picture. That's where this is going to go. But let's see how he develops it in the nuance here. So it's a little bit hard Rashi script, but I think we'll get through it. So he says, "Maher lishmoa v'kasha la'abed chacham." So he says, "Terem enen ifaresh ha'hefresh lami echad kasha lishmoa u'maher lishmoa." So he says, "I'm going to start with." Why is it that somebody would be hard to listen, easier, quicker to listen, to understand, to process? Kumot can be ibud terasim, and why somebody would have a better memory, a worse memory? Amaza nishtana echad misulasa. Why would one person? Why would there be a difference between me and you in terms of our ability to process or ability to remember? the Rambam would answer, because that's what God put into your genes. That's just what it is. That's the way, that's your intellectual traits. But he says no. He brings in Vahu. It's based on what we read in the Gemara in Psachim. Kol HaKoes Im Chacham Chachmaso Mistalekes Mimenu. Anyone who gets angry, even if you're wise, your wisdom will leave you, as Elaine just told us. The Lav Kal V'Chomeru, all the more so. That's assuming I'm already wise, I'm smart. Think Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the context of that Gemara. Moshe was wise, he was a smart guy. But because he got angry, he forgot what he was learning. He forgot what the halacha was. So he says, V'Lav Kal V'Chomer, all the more so. Im Kolkach Gadol Lo Hefzer Akas LaHasir Masha Belibo, So he says, the Gemara is telling me that if I know things already, I'm smart, I get angry, I'll lose it. If I don't know, so I'm a student, I don't know yet, I haven't learned it yet. If I'm angry in the process of learning, for sure I'm not going to be able to understand. I already understand it. I get angry, I lose the understanding. Then for sure, if I'm angry to begin with, I'm never going to understand it in the first place. So anger is antithetical to learning. I can't learn when I'm angry. Mitzuraf lezeh, zil kari be ravu. We're now on the next page. Let me scroll down. Zil kari be ravu, ki ata tishalam le'ish kimaseyu. So now he says, where's anger in the classroom? So remember, we spoke about this already, that the Medrash Shmuel seems to say that wise people, that chachamim, have some level of predisposition to anger. So where's this anger if we're talking about the student, not the teacher? The teacher we said already. What about the student? So we know the teacher, we're told, lo akaptan melamed, right? Somebody who's angry, particular, yells, screams. We spoke about that. Shouldn't be a teacher. But guess what? It happens. And what he's about to do is flip the script. Usually our messages are to the teacher, don't get angry. But what if I'm in a classroom and my teacher does get angry? So the message here now is for the student of an angry teacher. What's my response gonna be if my teacher gets angry at me? Ha'inin wasovel umalim ayin mikas rabo umikamo. I'm not sure what this stands for, but who ke'ilem lo yiftach piv v'shomea v'shosech ve'eno koas lumaso. If my teacher gets angry at me and I don't get angry back, that person who can stay in a classroom and have the emotional control, not the student, not to react. This is counterintuitive, right? We usually put the onus of responsibility on the teacher to create the emotional environment in the classroom. But again, this is very realistic because sometimes, or many times, the teacher can't do that. So this is empowering the student to be able to work on their own reaction to the anger of their teacher, that if they can keep their emotional calm, even though their teacher is angry, then Zeus Charo Liot Meir Lishmoa, his reward is that he's going to be able to pay attention. He's going to be able to understand quickly. Umirov ha'anava de'ispe, he connects us to humility. Hashem yishlach lo ezro mikodesh. Hashem's gonna give him the power, the siyata deshmaya, the help from heaven because of his humility, not to respond, not to get frustrated, not to get angry back, not to get depressed. All the way that he can stay and pay attention in the classroom, he now will be able to understand things well. And then on the flip is the person, the student, who and he develops this a little bit more. He gives some nice, beautiful language here about how God's going to envelop you in his chesed, and you're going to be able to learn better. But what about somebody who doesn't do that, right? Lo kein talmud asher lefamim sovel kas rabo lefamim naktin ramos rucho zel lefamim mar lishmo al lefamim kashla abed. But somebody who's in the middle, sometimes he's able to do it, sometimes he's not. So he's going to be a mixed match. He's going to sometimes be able to understand, sometimes going to forget. His anger is going to get in the way of his learning. And ein sarach lomar, if the kid, if the student is always angry, ein sarach lomar im tamid kaso alpanav neged rabo, he's always sort of fighting back and arguing back and getting angry back, he's not going to be able to learn anything. So, big picture, what's he doing here? He's doing a few things, right? So number one, he's inserting into our discussion the fact that the emotional experience, the midos of character, are going to impact my intellectual capabilities, my intellectual skills. But by doing this, he's also pulling a very important move, which is that in theory, this is something you can work on, right? If you're going to go the Rambam's route, that this is all from God, nothing you can do about it, hands up in the air, I can't improve my memory, I can't improve my processing speed, I'm done. But he seems to be arguing that that's not true. Just like in last Mishnah, we said you could work on your anger. If I'm saying in this Mishnah that the reason why you're either learning well or not is because of your own emotional health in the classroom, in the shiur, in the whatever, then you can work on that. And if you work on that, you'll be able to learn better. So emotions get in the way of learning. They can also, on the positive side, help learning. That's like curiosity. The positive emotions can help that. Sometimes there could also be a healthy anxiety, whatever. It's a little bit far afield for now. But the point here is that, for sure, unhealthy emotions get in the way of the learning process. If I'm able to work on that, then I should be able to learn better. So that's the second thing he's doing. The third thing that he's doing, which I think is very fascinating, is, again, he's putting the responsibility here on the student. And I think that's pretty empowering, right? It doesn't take the blame away from a teacher. We've spoken about that, right? We've said a teacher has to keep emotional control. The teacher has to be able to not get angry. But it's very realistic to realize, especially if we're saying, as the Medrash Shmuel said, that sometimes teachers are more susceptible to get angry. It's very realistic to assume that at some point in time you're going to come across a teacher in your studies who's going to get angry. And if you know as a student, it's very empowering, if you know as a student how to handle that situation and not shut down, then you'll be able to learn better. Because a teacher, they're angry, they're going to keep teaching, right? But once you shut down, you shut down, you lost the lesson. So figure out how to compensate for that, to deal with it, and then you yourself will be a better learner. Very powerful explanation of the Mili D'Avos. Okay, so now, if you see, we have a long Medrash Shmuel here. And this is going to be the last half of this year, this morning, is we're going to keep developing this theme and look at this tension, this back and forth. Is it my fault? Is it not my fault? Is it in my control to have to think a certain way, to have a good memory, to process quickly, or is it not in my control to process quickly or not? And the jumping off point that the Medrash Shmuel is going to be discussing this is the words that I believe Barbara pointed out last week, Chelek Ra. And so our last category of a student here is somebody who's slow to comprehend and quick to forget. That's a chelek ra, a bad portion. What does it mean, chelek ra? So here they translate it as evil portion. I believe that's why Barbara sort of jumped up and said, why is it evil if it's not in my control? So the question is, I can answer that by saying, okay, go like the Rambam. If you go like the Rambam, the question's assuming that it's not in my control, right? So maybe if it is in my control, then I can understand why it's called a chelek ra, because there's something ra, it's an evil portion, something bad you're doing. So that's really what the tension that we're going to be discussing now. It's all going to come through these words. Is there something bad that I'm doing if I am kasha lishmo amar lahabid? If it's all from God, then it's not really my fault. Then why call it a chelek ra? So then you have to say that it doesn't mean there's something bad about you. It's just descriptive. This happens to be, you know, nebuch. This is bad. You're not going to be able to learn. Nothing, not your fault. No onus, no blame on you. But the other option is to assume, no, there is something you're doing wrong. And that if you don't remember and you can't process quickly, there is something in that approach that you're at fault. It's going to sound harsh, but let's see where he goes with this. So source number four, Medrash Shmuel. So he says, Ve'efshar li lomar. Ki ha-memaher lishmoa u-memaher la-abed, mihiros ha-ibud, misuvav, mimihiros ha-shmia. So he starts off with an interesting assumption. And he says that there's actually, these traits go hand in hand on some level. Quick to forget, mihiros ha-ibud, actually depends on or is correlated with, is related to, mimihiros hashmia, quick to listen. So quick to listen is correlated with quick to forget. Why is quick to process correlated with quick to forget? So what do you think the answer is? What?
He was too fast.
Too fast, right?
Easy come, easy go.
Right, easy come, easy go. Ki bios hashmiya ba'avana bekalus, since you understood it so quickly, uva mehiros, lo nacha besichlo, it didn't really stick in your brain. Beheshket of menucha, you know, sort of sit and simmer there. Kadesh lo ta'abe, that you don't forget it. Ki kibolo kach polto, the quickly it went in, the quicker it went out. So yeah, you understood it. But then time, you know, the next class came along, you forgot it already because it went so quickly, then you forgot it. V'chein, and the same is true with kasha lishmoa v'kasha la'abed. Somebody who it's difficult for them to process, it's difficult for them to forget. They'll remember it better. Why? Because of the flip reason. Hey yosek kasha la'abed, nistovev miyuso kasha lishmoa, ki kevan she kasha lishmoa lahavin v'hutzach lo rabo lachzor lo ha'alacha elef pa'amim ad she'ivina zeh. You have to review it so many times, that's the reason why it stuck with you in the long run. Right? So the fact that it was hard for me to understand in the first place, the effort that was required, the continual repetition, was then actually what caused me to be able to remember it better. So the two are correlated, he says. So for the first two clauses of our Mishnah, they actually cause one another. So because of that, now, Valkein HaChacham, Asher Bishmia, Hu Mimayer Lishmoa, the wise person understands it quickly. But remember, what we just argued was that if I remember it quickly, then I'm more susceptible to forget it quickly. So because of that, Kafi Zeh, the wise person, Aroy Shem Imar Labed, since he understood it quickly, he should have forgotten it quickly. The fact that I compensated for that, I understood it quickly, I could just go to the next class, I can move on, I can understand this, the next thing. No, I realize that I need to stop and slow down and review it even though I understood it quickly. And that's why that person's called a wise person, because he went against what is natural and overcame what should have happened in order that he should remember it in the long run. And then the flip. Mishu kasha lishmoa, hard for them to understand. Uvederach hateva, if I'm kasha lishmoa, if it's hard for me to understand, it should have been that I remembered it longer. Hu kasha la'abed. because I should have, it should have done it 100, 200, 300 times, and it should have stuck. Vizeha anya karov elav shnei afachim amenagdim zela zela hara velo lehiti bevadai zechelek ra ki nidbak bo achelek hara shelo bederech hateva. This is not natural. According to him, it would be natural, if it's hard for me to understand, to then remember it in the long run because I reviewed it. So that's why it's a chelek ra, because it's unnatural. And perhaps you could even sort of sense where he's going with this. Maybe there's something, not just that it's unnatural and nebuch, but it's unnatural, you should have done something about it. Right? You should have compensated. You should have figured something out. Va'af. Gamzo sishmianu, kili olam al yisya esha adami limura Torah. You should never give up hope. Bar amar yadati psios libi, shilo olam lu ocha lahasig b'torah. You should never say, I can never learn Torah. Kizos hamida, shilo lahasig klal, lo timsa b'shum adam. I think we might have said this last week. There's no category of somebody who can't learn anything. That's not one of the four categories. Our worst case scenario, v'achilek harashu b'kulam, hishakasha l'shmo u'memar la'abed, is that it's hard for you to understand and then quickly to forget. V'kevan shebehechrach yishma v'yavin afim yebekoshi yasuk b'torah, ki echad amar b'vechad amamit. So try your hardest. It's not about how much you actually accomplish or remember. It's about the process. It's about how your effort. V'chein ishmianu musar echad b'chacham, ki otira shelo amar memahar lishmoa ve'enu ma'abed chacham. Rak amar v'kashu la'abed. And he says the same musar, the same, you can have a similar message for the wise person. The wise person, there is no wise person who remembers quickly and never forgets. That's not an option. It's you remember quickly and it's hard to forget, but you can still forget. And because of that, you need to compensate to remind yourself and to review. Somebody who never forgets, that's a malach, that's an angel. Everybody forgets. So you have to review even if you're wise. Okay, so that's how he sets up the starting point here. But now, why is it called a chelek ra? Why is it a bad portion? If I can't remember, if I can't understand and I remember and I forget quickly. So ve'afshar, shekavanas omro, zechelek ra, hu biyos ki kasher chata adam harishon ve'etz hadas tovera. So adam harishon sinned, az nis'orer bo tovera mitzad oso hazuama. Then that through that sin, bad and good was created, and a mixture of bad and good came through that sin. The chol koshi hashmiya va'avana eino ba ela mitzad hachelek hara ha'me'urav ba'adam. All of our difficulty in intellect, in processing information, in remembering, all comes from that original sin that created this chelek ra, this bad portion, Asherhu masach mavdil besichlo, which creates a barrier in our brain. Lioso kasha lishmo memar la'abed. Vizeshu kasuv zechelek ra, ki michelek ra shebo, shegavar alav nistaviv koshi ashmiyo meiros ha'ibud. It's called chelek ra because, and here he's introducing the key point, is that the chelek ra relates to the yetzer hara. Right? It relates to sin. My intellectual deficiencies from a religious perspective come from sinful activities. It's chelek ra. So it's not just that these are two separate tracks. You have how smart you are and you have how good of a person you are from a religious perspective. The more yetzer hara I have that I don't take over and figure out and manage, that's going to impact my intellectual abilities as well. Without the Yetzer Hara, the argument is that my intellect would be perfected. Okay, so there's a lot of philosophy going on here, but that's his thesis, and it goes back to how I started, where I framed the question for you, that it's clear in many sources that our intellect from a religious perspective is not just about IQ. It's not just about how smart I am. Our midos, our character traits, our religious sensibilities impact how well I can hear and how well I can remember. And then he builds it up, and it's a long paragraph, but here's where he pulls it all together. The Efshar Ode. Shemashakasav zechelek ra. Hakavana shachelek hazeh lo nimshach lo rak mitzad maisav harayim heyosahu ra b'maasav. It's not just that the bad portion comes from bad actions. That's true. Again, it's not just intellect. There's my actions impact me. Kemosha Amar Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, as we've seen before in Perkei Avos, Kol she'ein yiras cheto kodemes l'chachmaso, ein chachmaso niskayemes. And that's really where we saw this for the first time, is that there's a combination that's required between wisdom and fear of sin. Those two are intertwined, and I cannot be wise without fear of sin. Umash Amru Chazal, shenigzar kodem mitziraso im yatipesh, v'adayin lo nada mativo, ki ilu tzadik v'rasha loka amar, efter shetipesh yomar, al inyan hashmia v'havana, ki akash lishmoa. So, again, there's wise and not wise, and then there's righteous and evil. Righteous and evil is not predestined. Wise and smart on some level is. But what we need to figure out is on to what extent is wise and smart predestined. That's where the Rambam, who we started off with, got this from. Chacham and Tipesh, wise and not wise, stupid, if you want to call it that, is predestined. Well, is it really predestined? Amnam heyoso tarti l'riusa liyos gam kein memar la'aved zechelek adam rasha ra ki gamol yadav yaselo she'en chachmaso miskayemes. So here's where he brings down the hammer. It's partially or almost all your fault to have both being kasha lishmoa, to not be able to listen appropriately, and then to forget quickly. It's in your hands, and we are going to fault you for that.
This
predestined, before you're born, wise or stupid declaration, this is the crux. Right? This is where it all comes down to. This tension between predestination and bechira. On the one hand, we're told wisdom, intellect, is dependent upon God. It's decreed. That's what we're told. That's where the Rambam got it from. Still, even though it's decreed, it's not muchreches. It's not for sure. A decree doesn't mean that it has to be that way. Decrees can be ripped up, right? We can change the precept susceptibility to our wisdom. Uviyad kol adam tolui liknos hashlemos asher yirtze. It's totally within our hands to fix and to perfect. Valkein amar yatzaschar befsedo ifcha. And that's why, getting back to, he's now going even further. If you remember last week, we said, why does it use, I believe it was Barbara's question also, maybe, I think it's actually Freda's question. Freda said, why are we using the word reward, schar? It's not in my hands. It's not in my control. He's saying, of course it's in your control. Yes, we heard that it was predestined, but predestined, shmidestined, it doesn't matter. I can go against whatever God decreed I was going to be in terms of my intellect. And if I don't, there's a reward and there's a punishment for that. Va'afke b'lashon schar v'hefsed. Right, it is. It's a reward and punishment. So keilu, my control button is covering up that word. Let's get rid of that. Why is that there? Do you guys see that? Okay, so we're gonna have to guess what word is behind that. The episode of keilu. Let's. Still there. Keilu who. Whatever. You are, I'm going to assume I know what this says. You are the one who is causing the reward and punishment. This atzmo, ki agzeri hishia teva adam natue al tzada echad yoser mina acher. What's the gzer? And here's the essence. What's predestined? All that's predestined is that I am susceptible to one or the other. I am susceptible to being smart or to not being smart. That's not a decree of finality. It is not that that is what is going to have to happen. it is in my hands. Va'amlam ima adam yirtze lahatos es tivo litzad ha'acher. Afim ye b'toreach gadol. If I want to change, it's going to take a lot of effort. Going to work really hard. Lefishu neged hagzera, because it's against the gzera. There was a decree that said I wasn't going to be smart. That didn't mean I wasn't going to be smart. It means it's going to be hard for you to be smart. And your natural tendency is going to be to not be smart. But if you want to overcome that, you have to work hard and you can do it. Im kol zeh b'didei talya milsa, it's all up to you. El kol asher yachpots yitznu. Whatever you then do, you try, you put in your effort. V'lachein afilu... Afilu... Okay, afilu sechal elu, beis chalukos hamumtzos bein beis akzavos, efshar yimsog b'misha nigzar lav shechacham. Yes, I'm decreed to be wise, but I didn't try. On the flip, I was decreed to be wise. I had all the capabilities. I had all the tools to be wise. B'misha nigzar lav shechatipesh, ki ein od chalukah nigzar min hashamayim rak chacham utipesh, ki mishu memar lishma memar labet, efshar shenigzar lav shechacham. Again, it's all movable. It's all changeable. Through hard work, you can change whatever you were your nature were susceptible to, you were vulnerable to, you were, it was gonna happen. You can change your nature through all of the hard work that you put in. He goes on and he elaborates, but I think we get the point here. But it's all about working hard, hishtadlos, putting in the effort, and by doing that, you can totally change what your natural capabilities and tendencies were for. And then we close with source number 5, which is the Mili de Avos. This one's really hard to read, very old Rashi script from a manuscript here. But his main point is that through, no matter what we're talking about, whatever category you're in, the main important word here is hasmada, right? Hishtadlus. If you put in the effort, if you work hard, if you put in the hours, if you compensate for whatever deficiency you might be naturally inclined to, you can overcome. You can accomplish. And that's the message of the Mishnah. So we're ending, what I think is the correct way of reading this Mishnah, is not the hard, predetermined way the Rambam phrased it in the beginning. Your intelligence is determined, there's nothing you can do about it. Although in the bigger context of Rambam, we might have to understand that a little bit more. But that's not the route we're going. We have enough indications from our sources, from Gemaras, from later commentaries, that no matter what my susceptibility is, no matter what my tendency, with exceptions, again, there are people who can't, they have some sort of brain lesion where they can't remember, right? That's not who we're talking about, right? We're not talking about people who have serious deficiencies and mental incapabilities that no matter how hard they tried, they wouldn't be able to accomplish that. But for 99% of everybody else, there's work to be done. There's no, I have a bad memory, I can't learn. There's no, I can't understand this the first time because I have a slow processing. It's all about compensating, working hard, putting in the effort. Does that mean you will be able to be as smart as the person who has the genetic capabilities to be a genius and put in their own effort? Right? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe
yes. Maybe not. But that's not. It could be. But again, if you're starting off with two people who one has the capability to get really, really, really high, and the other doesn't, and if the one who has the capability doesn't put in the effort, and the one who doesn't have the capability does, then, for the most part, the one who doesn't have the capability can surpass the one who has the capability and doesn't put in the effort, right? We see that all the time. If, just being realistic here, if somebody has the genetic capability, we believe in genetics, right? It happens. I mean, it's not nothing, right? If somebody has the genetic capability, and I'm not just saying that from a scientific perspective, that's embedded in the sources here as well. If somebody's nigzar, that they're going to be a chacham, so they have the genetic capabilities in our terminology to be a chacham, and then they also put in the effort and the reviewing and then they will probably, you know, stay on a higher intellectual level. Again, echad amarbev, echad amamed. Who gets more schar in shamayim? They could both be equal because we get schar based on effort. But in terms of sheer capacity of, you know, of intellect, it could be that person goes higher. But that's not important, right? We're not, our job's not to compare myself versus somebody else intellectually. My job is to take whatever my, as we said last week, that the self-awareness of what type of learner I am, and then compensate, work hard, both in terms of my, as Rabbi Shloni pointed out before, my drills of remembering, of repeating, so that it can stick and that I can remember it in the long term, as well as I'll add a huge piece of what we spoke about today, working on my midos, my character traits, especially anger, and how that manifests and how that impacts my ability to learn and to listen and to process. So if I can work on all of that, then it doesn't matter what was determined for me before I was born. All that matters is that I put in my effort, and for 99% of the cases, that will be able to compensate, and you can make inroads and learn a lot and remember a lot and impact, you know, make a huge impact with your learning in the world. Okay, so I think this Mishnah, which we're done with, we're going to move on to the next Mishnah next time, has a tremendous amount to say in terms of our ability to learn and our ability to improve and our ability to work on ourselves. And I hope at the very least it serves as an inspiration for us to reflect on our own learning practices, and to the extent that we, you know, do we put in that effort? Do we review? Do we listen to a shiur we didn't understand again and again and again and again until we finally get it? You know, do we work on our anger, and our emotional wellness, that we can be able to, listen and receive and process well? Or are we so caught up in our heads that we can't focus and we can't pay attention? So to the extent that we can learn from this Mishnah is that it's really in our hands. It's biadenu. It's in our hands to work on this. It's hard. Might be very difficult. But I would argue that this is what, this is a huge part of what life's about. Our ability to sit and learn and to remember, and then our Torah and increase our ability to impact others through that Torah. So with that, yes.
One way to do it is to join your shiur.
Okay, I'll take it. All right, and we'll close. If anybody has any questions, feel free. We have a few minutes to do some questions, reflections, thoughts. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi Schiffman.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you. Good
week, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Never give up.
We'll see you later. See you next week. Bye.
Thanks very, very much.